Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I've been looking at some really interesting shifts this week. We're talking memory, networking, storage. It feels like we're seeing this cutting-edge tech become, well, not just faster and more powerful, but actually more accessible too, which is kind of surprising. So today we're doing a deep dive using articles and reports from Tech Week and some other weekly digests. And these sources, they're just packed with announcements. We're talking Micron, Kioxia, Marvell, GL.inet, QNAPP, TerraMaster, YubiKey. I mean, it's a lot to sort through on your own.
Exactly. And that's our mission today, really, to take all that dense info and, distill it down into clear insights for you. We want to pull out the developments that actually matter, give you a shortcut to understanding how these tech advances are, well, shaping things right now.
Okay, let's kick things off then. A really big shift in memory. Micron is officially sunsetting DDR4 production. But here's where it gets interesting, right? Even though they're phasing it out, demand for DDR4 is still, like, unexpectedly high, especially for budget stuff and embedded systems.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because Micron's clearly redirecting, R&D, fab capacity, everything towards DDR5 and HBM. That makes total sense. The whole industry wants DDR5's scalability, the better power efficiency, those higher speeds. But yeah, you've still got this lingering DDR4 demand thing, industrial IoT, older servers maybe, cost-sensitive gadgets where, frankly, DDR5 is overkill or just too pricey for now.
So what does that mean short term? Could we see like weird pricing or shortages?
That's the question, isn't it? You could definitely see some pricing pressure, maybe temporary shortages for those specific DDR4 modules, and that might even stretch out through 2026, potentially.
Okay. So moving from current tech to the future, high-performance memory, especially for AI, that's huge right now. We saw this detailed roadmap from JEDEC, they're the standards body, right? Outlining HBM4, HBM5, all the way up to HBM8. Can you walk us through the kind of leap we're talking about here, the bandwidth, the capacity?
Oh, it's absolutely crucial if you look at the big picture for AI accelerators. These next-gen HBM standards are, well, fundamental. So HBM4, that's pegged for 2026 or so. The target is, get this, 2 terabytes per second of bandwidth per stack.
Wow, per stack.
Yeah, and up to 48 gigabytes per package, all while trying to stay within a reasonable 75-watt power envelope. And we're already hearing about NVIDIA's Rubin, AMD's Next Instinct MI500 series. They're planning to use it.
Okay.
And then the roadmap just keeps going. HBM8, way out in maybe 2038, they're targeting an absolutely wild 64 terabytes per second.
64.
Terabytes per second, with stacks potentially up to 240 gigabytes. I mean, the cooling needed for that. You're talking embedded cooling for 15,000-watt AI racks.
15,000 watts. Cooling and latency must be enormous challenges there.
Huge bottlenecks, exactly. And it's also interesting they mentioned hybrid architectures too, HBM, HBF, high bandwidth flash.
High bandwidth flash.
What's that about? The idea is integrating non-volatile flash inside the HBM stack, aiming for petabyte-class bandwidth eventually, so massive capacity and speed.
Okay, that's mind-bending stuff. And sticking with foundational tech, Marvell. They've unveiled the industry's first 2-nanometer custom SRAM. What does that mean for chip design, especially now in this sort of post-Moore's Law era everyone talks about?
Well, the immediate impact is pretty clear, about a 20% area reduction compared to 3-nanometer designs and better power efficiency too. This custom SRAM, it can pack up to 6 gigabits of high-speed memory, but use 66% less power than standard SRAM at similar densities. That's significant.
6% less power.
Yeah. And we expect to see it in AI and networking ASICs around 2026. What's really compelling is how it enables these ultra-efficient silicon stacks. Think 50 to 100 TOPS per watt for AI inference systems. That TOPS per watt metric is, super critical for AI efficiency.
Right.
And it supports next-gen interconnects like CXL Compute Express Link and PCIe 6.0.
So it helps connect everything faster too.
Exactly. In this post-Moore's Law world, you can't just rely on shrinking transistors anymore. So this custom SRAM lets designers say, add more compute cores or just make the whole device smaller. It really supports Marvell's whole custom platform strategy.
Okay, let's shift from the chips themselves to the drives, SSDs. Seeing some serious advances, especially for industrial and enterprise use. Let's start with the industrial side. Kioxia and Transcend have new stuff out. What makes these drives so tough, and why is that resilience so vital?
Well, data integrity is everything in those harsh conditions, right? So these industrial SSDs are built for it. Kioxia has this new 8-terabyte industrial drive. It's built on their 112-layer BiCS5 3D TLC NAND. Crucially, it has robust power loss protection.
Oh, okay. Power loss protection.
Yep. And it can operate from negative 40 Celsius all the way up to 85 Celsius. So I think factory automation, mm-hmm. defense systems, outdoor surveillance, really demanding places.
Right. Makes sense.
And Transcend's doing a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Their MTE-824T2, that's a PCIe Gen 4 drive, pretty fast. 7,400 milliwids reads, 6,800 writes, but again, full power loss protection. And it meets those tough ISOTS, Swanscott's 949 automotive standards.
Automotive standards, okay.
Yeah. They also have the SSD475P, similar durability, special firmware for consistent write speeds, plus security features like AES encryption and TCG Opal for self-encrypting drives. It just highlights this real focus on long-term reliability where you absolutely cannot afford to lose data, mission-critical stuff.
Definitely. Okay, so that's industrial. What about the huge data centers, AI workloads? Kioxia is pushing boundaries there too, right?
Yeah.
With their CD9P series PCIe 5.0 drives. What's the big standout feature there, especially for those, you know, GPU heavy AI tasks?
Yeah, looking at the data center picture, the CD9P series is a major leap. They're using Kioxia's 8th gen BCS flash app, but with the CBA technology, CMOS directly bonded to array.
CBA, what does that do?
It basically lets them double the capacity per drive compared to the last gen. They can hit an incredible 61.44 terabytes.
61 terabytes in a standard 2.5 inch drive.
In a 2.5 inch form factor, yeah. It's purpose built for AI and high performance computing. Speeds are up there too, 14.8 gigabytes per second reads, 7 gigabytes per second writes, and really good improvements in performance per watt, which matters a lot in data centers.
Sure does.
But what's really forward-looking, I think, is they've included support for CNSA 2.0 signing algorithms.
CNSA 2.0 quantum resistance.
Exactly. It's the Commercial National Security Algorithm Suite 2.0, designed to withstand threats from future quantum computers. It's like future-proofing the data security right now.
That's pretty smart, thinking ahead like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so beyond the drives themselves, what about managing storage at home or in small businesses? TerraMaster launched their D4 SSD, a direct-attached storage box, and both TerraMaster and Ubiquiti had some big software updates for NAS and surveillance. What's the impact there for users?
Right, the TerraMaster D4 SSD is a good example of bringing really high-speed, flexible storage straight to creators or, you know, power users. It uses USB 4, so you can get these blazing speeds up to 224 megabytes per second, reads-writes, if you set it up in RAID 0.
Yeah, that's fast for direct-attached.
Very fast. And up to 32 terabytes capacity. It's compact, portable, quiet. Pretty versatile for media work, big game libraries, or even just adding fast storage to an existing mass.
Yeah. And the software updates, Unify Protect?
Yeah. Unify Protect 6.0 adds some neat AI stuff. AI-powered motion timelines, object tracking, better role management for users, makes surveillance smarter, easier to manage.
Mm. AI and surveillance.
And TerraMaster's TOS 6 beta, that's their operating system, has a whole new UI, modular apps. They're even previewing an enterprise NAS series and testing AI image recognition.
Interesting.
And even Unraid, popular for home servers, their 7.1.4 update was mostly maintenance, but it's laying groundwork for better networking and storage handling to the line.
Okay, good stuff happening on the software side too. Let's shift gears again. Networking. How we connect everything. Seems like high-speed networking is getting cheaper, more accessible. I saw the GL.inet Flint 3 Wi-Fi 7 router and QNAP's QSW 3000 series 10 gigabit switches. They really stood out. What makes these so significant for, say, home users or small businesses?
Well, what's really exciting is seeing this advanced networking tech become more democratic. You know, the GL.inet Flint 3 gives you tri-band Wi-Fi 7 for under $150.
Wi-Fi 7, under $150.
Yes. And it supports MLO multi-link operation. That's key for cutting down interference and latency because it uses multiple bands at once.
Right, MLO. That's a big Wi-Fi 7 feature.
It's huge. And for privacy folks, it runs open WRT-based firmware, so it's super customizable. Comes with AdGuard Home built in for blocking ads and trackers, and really strong VPN performance up to 680 megabits per second with WireGuard, which is pretty impressive for a router in this price range.
And wired ports.
2.5 gigabit Ethernet ports, so plenty of bandwidth for a modern home network or a small office setup.
Nice. And the QNAP pre-switches, 10 gigabit.
Yeah, the QSW 3000 series, they bring enterprise-level 10 gigabit Ethernet, features things like VLANs for segmenting your network, QoS for prioritizing traffic, LACP for combining links down to under $500.
Under $500 for managed 10 gig.
Exactly. That makes really fast networking much more attainable for home labs, small offices, people running NAS setups who need that speed.
Definitely opens things up. Okay, rounding out the hardware picture, mini PCs. Geekom unveiled their IT-15. For listeners maybe looking for a powerful but compact workstation, where does this fit in? We're seeing powerful, tiny computers everywhere now.
Yeah, it raises that interesting question of balancing performance with, you know, size and portability. The Geekom IT15 packs an Intel Core i9-13900H processor.
An i9 in that small box.
Yep. Supports up to 64 gigs of DDR4, dual NVMe SSDs, and it's all in this tiny, like, 0.46 liter metal chassis. What's really impressive is the connectivity. Two USB 4 Type-C ports. Those give you 40 gigabits per second transfers, support for external GPUs.
eGPU support.
Yeah. And it can drive up to four 4K displays at once. Mm. Plus, it's got Wi-Fi 7 and 2.5 gigabit LAN built in.
So it's small, but doesn't skimp on I/O or power.
Not at all. It's a really quiet, versatile option for demanding productivity, creative work.
Yeah.
You could VESA mount it behind a monitor or just use it as a powerful little workstation you can easily move around.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
Memory, storage, networking, even compact PCs. What does this all mean for you, the listener?
Well, if you connect all these dots, right, you definitely see this powerful convergence happening. And it's largely driven by AI demands and just the sheer volume of data we're all creating and using.
Yeah, AI seems to be the thread pulling a lot of this together.
It really is. It's pushing memory towards those multi-terabyte capacities, those insane speeds we talked about with HBM. It's driving SSDs to being incredibly durable and performant for data centers. And at the same time, it's making high-speed networking and computing more accessible than ever for everyone else too.
Right.
And the innovation isn't just raw power, you know, it's also about efficiency, that TOPS per watt thing, resilience, like the industrial SSDs and smart software features that actually adapt to how you use the tech, whether that's for heavy industry, professional creative work, or just wanting a faster, safer home network.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, it's worth thinking about how all these pieces fit together, from a tiny 2 gigabit RAM chip to a, you know, massive 61 terabyte SSD. These aren't just isolated upgrades. They're interconnected, accelerating this whole tech ecosystem that really impacts our digital lives every day.
Exactly. And maybe this raises a question for you to think about moving forward. We see high bandwidth memory potentially hitting 64 terabytes per second in the future. We see quantum resistant SSDs starting to emerge. So how might the lines between local processing on your own device and cloud computing start to blur or even redefine themselves for you personally over, say, the next decade?